Denny, some time back, I interviewed you about a previous book, and we talked about this, but let's address it again. Denny, any of you, talk to us about same-sex attraction and sinful desire. Is same-sex attraction sinful?
The answer to that is yes. And it's the corollary is also sinful. To build an identity out of those attractions would also be sinful. And we take our direction from this really from Jesus himself, who taught us in Matthew 5 in the Sermon on the Mount. You've heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery, but I say, anyone who looks at a woman to lust after her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And the word there that's usually translated as lust is the Hebrew word chamad for desire. It just means desire. And desire can be good or can be bad. Desire is good if you're desiring a good thing. If you're desiring a bad thing, then desire is evil. It's sinful. And so by definition, to desire adultery would be a bad desire. And that's what Jesus is teaching. But he's not just innovating there when he says that. He says he's really putting together what the Ten Commandments were saying all along, because the seventh commandment says, you shall not commit adultery. And then the tenth commandment says, you shall not desire your neighbor's wife. So Jesus, as the master teacher, is just saying what the law really always taught and what should have been, obvious to anyone with eyes to see. But so sadly, so many people didn't see it. So what does that mean, and how does that relate to same-sex attraction? Well, Jesus teaches us it's not just what we do that can be sinful, but also what we desire can be sinful. So it's not just the doing of sexual immorality, it's the desiring of sexual immorality. So when people say that they experience same-sex attraction, or they say they have a homosexual orientation, what they are saying is that an orientation is just the experience of a certain kind of sexual feeling over time, right? A certain kind of, in this case, it would be sexual feelings for the same sex. In other words, sexual desires for the same sex. In other words, a homosexual orientation. So that is totally exactly what Jesus was addressing in the Sermon on the Mount. He was saying, look, even if you were to never, before you ever engaged in any sexually immoral action, your desires are engaged first. And sin begins at the level of our desires. So that means that same-sex attraction, sexual orientation, those are morally implicated things. And it means that as Christians, we have to recognize that, because if you're ever going to address before you can address the fruit of sin, you have to address the root of sin. And the root of it, biblically speaking, is in our desires, which we inherit from our father Adam, right? We're all sons and daughters of Adam, and we take that from him. And so our desires are broken, and we have to be redeemed, and we have to have the power of the Holy Spirit to overcome that. But same-sex attraction is not different than all other sins. People who are affirming of homosexuality now are trying to treat homosexuality as different from all other sins, in that they're basically saying that the attractions. Let me back up here. We have some Christians who are trying to treat homosexuality as different from all other sins. And what I mean by that is they're saying, well, you shouldn't do homosexual behavior, but just experiencing same-sex attraction is not morally implicated. It's not a big deal. That's actually not what the Bible teaches. It doesn't teach that about heterosexual sin, and it certainly doesn't teach that about homosexual sin. They're all of a piece. Long before we do anything, the desiring of sin is also morally implicated.
And this is related actually to what Colin mentioned earlier with regard to how the world will want to argue this is who I am, this is my feelings are who I am. And no one is willing to argue that on the on other levels. I am a child beater, and that's therefore it's okay. Or I am a brutal person, a cruel person at heart, and therefore I should be allowed to punch you in the nose. Yeah, nobody argues like that. I am an adulterer at heart. I should be able to cheat all I want. Nobody argues this,
No.
but this is the exception they want.
No, you're exactly right. And you wouldn't build identities on those proclivities
Yeah, that's
either.
right.
So nobody's denying that even after conversion, we all have sinful proclivities. And you have people with temptation patterns that are as diverse as there are, a diversity of people. Okay. We all have temptation patterns. That's uncontroversial. The question is, are you going to build an identity out of that? We don't.
We've lost you again. There you are. Okay.
If some guy says, can you hear me?
Yeah, there you are.
Okay, sorry. It looked like we came out for a second. Yeah, if some guy says, I have issues with anger. And so I'm a wrathful Christian. That's my identity. It's just who I am. I just try not to act on it, but I'm really just running around seething in anger all the time. Nobody does that because everybody knows to be a faithful Christian means you fight and wage war against your flesh at the level of your desires. You don't build identities out of it. You put it to death, which means you're trying to fight what you know to be broken inside of you, and you don't want to, make some sort of, social identity out of it and ask everybody else to celebrate it, recognize it, or something else. So, really what we would argue is that homosexuality should not be set apart as this thing that's especially bad or different from other sins, so much as you should think of it as, it's just like all other fallen. It's just like all other fallenness. It's something that begins at the level of desires, works its way out into deeds, and you have to name the sinfulness of both. And if you don't do that, then you're going to end up with some sort of a broken doctrine of man or broken hermeneutology, and that's what we're trying to disciple God's people to see through.
That's why Paul's passage in 1 Corinthians 6, I think, is so important, that he doesn't shy away from naming homosexuality as a sin that keeps you out of the kingdom of God. That's what sin does. Sin separates us from our Creator. But then he goes right after that and he says, "But such were some of you," which means that he's looking in at the church of Corinth and he sees people who formerly identified that way, who formerly were in the mire of that particular sin, but they themselves are repenting, they're turning their lives around and running towards Jesus, recognizing this, that none of the LGBTQ alphabet soup can ultimately keep you from God's love, but what is on offer in the gospel is repentance and forgiveness. That if you turn from those things and you come to Christ, He will forgive you and he will wash you clean and he will sanctify you. Our world wants to hit Paul on the first part of that, that homosexuality does not keep you from the kingdom of heaven. And we need to double down on scripture. And but we also, as we're doing that, we're naming sin for what it is. We need to be just as quick to hold out the hope of the gospel that Paul does right there in 1 Corinthians 6. But such were some of you. But you were washed, you were sanctified, you were saved by the blood of Christ. So that we hope, as the curriculum goes on, the very final lesson in week 8 is all about the gospel, and we don't want that to seem like it's just kind of a token, tack on at the end. But no, that's the very heartbeat of the entire study, and I don't think we've mentioned this yet, but there's actually video components to each week of this curriculum. So you can read the chapter with your small group or your family or your Bible study, whatever it is. And you can watch videos from people like Albert Mohler and H.B. Charles and Christopher Yuan. And the final week, that week 8, is Rosaria Butterfield just sharing her testimony about how God saved her out of this exact kind of identity, this exact kind of sin pattern and struggle that Denny's been talking about. You know, she was in a committed lesbian relationship and God saved her. And he's sanctifying her today. And she bears testimony to that in her video.
Hi, I'm Jim Zaspel with booksatglance.com. I hope you enjoyed this snippet of our author interview. If you'd like to have access to the rest of this interview, our archive of existing interviews and new interviews as they come out, as well as our archive of hundreds of book summaries and new book summaries that come out at least once per week, then just go to booksatglance.com to become a paying member or click the link above this video. Thanks and have a great day.